And again, if you'll turn with me to Lord's Day number 6, questions 16 through 19. Question number 16, why must he be a true and righteous man? Because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which has sinned should make satisfaction for sin. But one who is himself a sinner can't satisfy for others. Why must he also be true God? That by the power of his Godhead he might bear in his manhood the burden of God's wrath, and so obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. But who now is that mediator, who in one person is true God, and also a true and righteous man? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is freely given unto us for complete redemption and righteousness. From where do you know this? From the Holy Gospel, which God himself first revealed in paradise, afterwards proclaimed by the holy patriarchs and prophets, and foreshadowed by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and finally fulfilled by his well-beloved Son. Amen. So in many ways, you could say that what we're looking at today, this statements here in questions 16 through 19, is the gospel. Is the good news that we celebrate. The gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the God-man. And so the question is raised, why must he be God, man, and why must he be God? Do we have a deliverer? Remember what we said last week. This is that as Ursinus was writing a commentary on this catechism, his focus was on redemption. Where does our redemption come from? And our redemption comes from our mediator, it says in question 18, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, notice that the focus first is on the justice of God. We've actually been looking at that the past couple weeks. The necessity of the satisfaction of the justice of God because of the greatness of our sin and God's offense because of our sin. And so God requires, the justice of God requires, the holiness of God requires, the righteousness of God requires that those who sinned must be punished, that those, that human nature, the same human nature which had sinned, should make, it says, satisfaction for sin. That's why the blood of bulls and goats was not sufficient. They were but types and shadows pointing to the sufficient sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They were shadows pointing to the reality. There was the necessity of the shedding of blood. There was the necessity of death, for the wages of sin is death. And so they pointed to the necessity of death, but death of one like us in all ways. On campus this week, we have been working our way through Ruth, and we came to chapter 3 in the book of Ruth. And in that chapter, the key point is this person called a kinsman redeemer, or Goel. And the necessity that both Naomi and Ruth had of redemption, but it had to be through a kinsman. It had to be someone like them, had to be of their family. Well, we have a kinsman redeemer as well, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so he became man. One who was without sin, one who did not need to be redeemed himself, but could redeem others. Isaiah chapter 53 is cited there under questions both 16 and 17. Both the satisfaction because he is a true and righteous man, but also, question 17, why must he be God? Why must our Savior, our Redeemer, our Mediator be God? Because of the burden of God's wrath, because of the severity of the wrath of God, the infinite wrath of God, who could sustain, who could maintain themselves under that great burden? Only God could do it. And so God became man and dwelt among us. And he took upon himself the burden that lay upon us. And so he has obtained and restored to us righteousness because he is righteous, and life through his death. Question number 18, the answer there. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is freely given, there's grace, right? That's the gospel of free grace. He was freely given by the Father for, notice the statement, complete redemption and complete righteousness. Jesus is my righteousness before God. Jesus is your righteousness before God. If you believe, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness is imputed to us. And when the Father looks at us, he looks at Jesus and his complete fulfillment of every single law that God has given us. And he is also our Redeemer from our sin. And I love question number 19, where I find that to be fascinating and exciting, that back 450 years ago when this was written, the authors understood the gospel was presented in the garden. The gospel was presented in the book of Exodus and the book of Leviticus and the book of Numbers and the book of Deuteronomy and on and on and on. That God has revealed the gospel. God himself was the first preacher of the gospel in Genesis 3:15. And God declared the gospel through the patriarchs, through the prophets, through the sacrifices, through the ceremonies of the law. And as we look today at the book of Ezra, we actually see the gospel presented through the person of Ezra himself as a type of Christ. And so God has declared in hundreds of places in the Old Testament the coming, the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can study and we can read that scripture, all Old and New Testament, is profitable for us. It speaks of our Savior. Amen? Amen.